is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. The president recognizes the Golan Heights as part of Israel.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
In a moment, I will sign a presidential proclamation recognizing Israel's sovereign right over the Golan Heights. The state of Israel took control of the Golan Heights in 1967 to safeguard its security from external threats.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Your proclamation comes at a time when Golan is more important than ever for our security, when Iran is trying to establish bases in Syria to strike at Israel. From across the border in Syria, Iran has launched drones into our airspace, missiles into our territory.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. An historic day yesterday. I had the real honor and privilege to be over at the White House with the president and the vice president, and the prime minister of the state of Israel was there, of course, and there was a declaration recognizing the Golan Heights as part of Israel. And I am holding in my hand a very precious document to me, and this is a signed resolution. This is what the president of the United States signed, and he was kind enough to give me one of these. I will read it to you in a moment, but for our Facebook and Periscope audiences, this is the actual, one of the copies, or multiple copies signed, obviously, of the declaration regarding the Golan Heights being a part of Israel. We'll get into all the history of that in a moment, but I just want to tell you something from my perspective. I have been working at the ACLJ, and we as a team, and you as our members, have been working on the defense of Israel for four decades, and the Golan Heights are a critical part of that defense. And when the president issued that declaration yesterday and I was able to see it and then see the actual signature, have the actual signature from the president on this resolution, this the president was kind enough to give this to me, but I am accepting this on behalf of all of you, all of our listeners, all of our members from around the country and around the world. This was a hugely historically significant day. And I am treating this as a biblical archive. I am being very careful on how I hold it. I will read it to you. I'm holding the actual copy, the actual signed declaration, actually, in my hand with the president's signature. It says, on the top of it, it says, the seal of the President of the United States, recognizing the Golan Heights as part of the state of Israel by the United States, by the President of the United States of America. Then it says, a proclamation. The state of Israel took control over the Golan Heights in 1967, to safeguard its security from external threats. Today, aggressive acts by Iran and terrorist groups, including Hezbollah in southern Syria, continue to make the Golan Heights a potential launching ground for attacks on Israel. Any possible future peace agreement in the region must account for Israel's need to protect itself from Syria and other regional threats. Based on these unique circumstances, it is therefore appropriate to recognize Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. Now, therefore, I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim that the United States recognizes that the Golan Heights are part of the State of Israel. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand this 25th day of March in the year of our Lord, 2019, and of the independence of the United States of America, 243rd. I get emotional just reading it. This is a hugely significant declaration, a hugely significant moment. I will tell you, it was I've had quite a couple of days in Washington, as you can imagine. On the very day before, on Sunday, we got the great news about the conclusions of the Mueller investigation, no collusion, no obstruction. And then the next day to be in the White House, my colleague Rudy Giuliani was there as well. And to be able to see this and talk to the Prime Minister of Israel and the President, and then to receive a copy of the signed proclamation, one of the, I think, 10 or so that they had. What an honor. I'm accepting that on behalf of all of you, our friends and members from around the world. Thank you. What a historic day. Thank the president as well. And thank the Lord that we've got leadership in there right now that understands the importance of the protection of the state of Israel for the Jewish people. All right. We're going to take your calls and comments. We come back from the break. We're talking about Golan in Israel. That's 800-684-3110. We'll be back with more, including your phone calls and comments. Get those in on Facebook and Periscope. Again, 800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So as I said, there's now a proclamation on the recognition of the Golan Heights as part of the State of Israel. I want to bring Skip Ash into this conversation really early here because, Skip, I want you to set the stage. You do a lot of work, as we all do in Israel. You just came back. But let's talk about where the Golan Heights are, how it became Israel property or the controlled by Israel, and take us through this. So let's first talk about Where is the Golan? And maybe we can put a map up during the broadcast for our TV and Facebook audiences. Where the Golan Heights is and its strategic importance. Start with where it is.
Sure. The Golan Heights is in the northeast corner of Israel. So Israel's very narrow. It goes north to south. It's a very narrow country. But in the northeast corner is where the Golan Heights are. The Golan Heights stretch for about 38 miles, and they're on the northeast border. It's high ground that overlooks the richest agricultural portion of Israel and also the Sea of Galilee. So from 1948, when Israel got its independence, till 1967, when Israel captured the Golan Heights, the Syrians were firing at Israelis in the valleys. The Israeli farmers had to use armored tractors to plow their fields. Every farmhand had to be armed. The roads, they planted huge trees along the roads so that it would make it more difficult for the Syrians to fire at buses and cars and trucks driving up and down the road. So, and let's keep in mind also that the portion of Israel into which the Syrians were firing was at most 7 or 8 miles wide. And on the other side, on the western side, was high ground that was occupied by Lebanon. So you have a valley between two hostile powers. So it's very strategic for Israel.
So let's talk about how the property itself became part of Israel.
1967, during the Six-Day War, Egypt and Syria and Jordan attacked Israel. And Israel had to fight on two fronts, had to fight against the Egyptians in the west and had to fight against the Jordanians and the Syrians in the east. And what happened was that the Israeli forces, the IDF, actually had to fight up, from the low ground to the high ground, and took the bunkers, took all the prepared positions on the Golan Heights that Syria had been preparing for 20 years. There's also an interesting story about an Israeli spy, if you want to talk about that, Eli Cohen, who had fed information to the Israelis, which allowed them to identify the positions and made it much more easy for the Israelis to take the positions.
All right, so let's do this. I think it's important to understand we're kind of setting the stage for you in what this is. First of all, I want to get your reaction to what you think about the president's proclamation here, which I'll read again in a moment. But the president has proclaimed that the United States recognizes the Golan Heights as part of the state of Israel. This is a big, big decision. It's a big recognition. How important do you think that is? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me go to Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs, because right now there is, in fact, a move, if you will, in Congress regarding this. This is a presidential proclamation. Now there is a move in the United States Senate.
Yeah, well, first, let me say this, Jay. I mean, it's almost impossible to describe how significant this proclamation is. It's impossible for me to describe how special that document you showed is, that you have a piece of history there. But, Jay, the important part is how much it represents the underlying policy of the United States and the commitment that this administration has to supporting Israel's security and to standing behind it. However, there is an important op-ed written by Senator Lindsey Graham today talking about how a future president, although it would be unwise, a future president could reverse the decision of President Trump, and it's important for the Congress to stand behind it. Senator Cruz and Congressman Mike Gallagher have introduced pieces of legislation in the House and Senate. It's S-567 and H.R. 1372 that, Jay, would essentially echo the position of the President of the United States and say that it is the sense of the House and the sense of the Senate that the President has made the right decision. I mean, after all, Jay, this dispute, it's between Israel and Syria. Do we really think that the Assad regime should be given control of the Golan Heights? Absolutely not, but it's important for the Congress to decide to stand behind the President on this.
Well, I showed you earlier the proclamation. I know we're going to have it available. We're going to be putting it up in our for our video and TV audience, and I'm sure we're going to – I think maybe we can tweet it out on social media. So I'm going to ask our producer, Will, when you get that picture, let's get that out on our social media so all of our folks that are – even the folks listening on radio right now can see this because – and I accept this, by the way, on behalf of all of you. So I want you to know that. This was – the president was kind enough to give it to me, but it was – I accepted it on behalf of our ACLJ friends, members, and listeners. So we appreciate that. We're talking about the significance of the Golan Heights. We're talking about this significant move. I think you have to understand, I've been in this region a lot, and in fact, we have video that we took of the area where you see tanks going back and forth and this kind of activity. But Skip, let's talk about the impact that this has from a military perspective. I think it's important to understand that.
Oh, absolutely. When the Syrians held the Golan Heights, the Israelis were at a big disadvantage because it's always better to be on the high ground. Now that the Israelis have taken the high ground, they have pushed the Syrian soldiers back into Syria by about up to 16 miles. And now they're on the top of a plain that leads all the way into Damascus. So now that the Israelis have the high ground, it's much easier to defend Israel. It also adds about 16 more miles of strategic depth, and the Israelis have zero strategic depth without the Golan Heights up in the northeast. So this is very strategic. It allows them reaction time when people begin to gather their forces to attack Israel. They have warning, and they have the ability then to bring up forces in advance of any attack.
I'll tell you this also. I mean, I've been to this region. If you're on top of the Golan Heights and you realize what the Syrians were doing, the Syrian military would often take aim from the top of the on the Golan Heights and aim for the farmers and the civilians, Skip, that were right below them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are settlements, Israeli settlements, right up to the previous border, and the Syrians on the high ground would just take pot shots at the people. They would also fire artillery rounds inadvertently or all the time. And many times the Israelis who lived in this area of Israel had to spend the nights in bunkers because of the firing and the shelling that came from the Syrian side. So Israel was very vulnerable up there. And as I said before, that's the richest agricultural land, the Hula Valley, in all of Israel. So they could not abandon that. They had to protect it. And by taking the Golan Heights, the Israelis now have peace in that area, have been able to develop more fully. And that's part of the Israeli miracle, agriculture.
We're going to have joining us our legal director from our office in Jerusalem, David Benjamin, joining us in just a moment. To discuss this. But then I want you to talk about the reality of what the legislation not only will do, but what are the prospects here?
Yeah, well, you saw Skip set the stage about the security importance for Israel on this. This is something that's been known inside Washington, D.C., Jay, for a number of decades. In fact, dating back to 1975, President Gerald Ford said this in a diplomatic assurance to Israel. He said the U.S. will support the position that an overall settlement with Syria in the framework of a peace agreement must assure Israel's security from attack from the Golan Heights. But Jay, essentially nothing has been done about it in the more than four decades since that proclamation by President Ford. What the president has done over the series of actions, and I would say, Jay, we got to put this into context. When you talk about the change at the United Nations, the change at the Security Council,
yep,
the move of
absolutely.
The embassy, this proclamation of Golan Heights, he has sent a very clear message that the United States is going to be behind Israel's security no matter what it takes. But Jay, this legislation is needed not to effectuate this change. The president has already done that. But Jay, it is needed to cement it in history to make sure that a president that is less committed to Israel's security can't change it without Congress's cooperation. So this legislation, S-567 and H.R. 1372, put forward by Senator Cruz and Congressman Mike Gallagher, and by the way, supported by Senator Lindsey Graham, who wrote an op-ed about
this. Will it get bipartisan support? This could be a fundamental test right now for those in the Congress and their support of Israel.
That is a key question, and it will get bipartisan verbal support, and if it comes to the floor of both chambers, it will get bipartisan support as well. But Jay, the question is, will Speaker Pelosi put the legislation on the floor? That's the key question in the House of Representatives.
I want to get your kind of instinctive feeling on that one.
I think she's only going to do it if the American people who stand behind this proclamation demand her to do it. I think we've seen this play out in her disputes, yep, with freshman members of Congress. If she could set this aside and just let water go under the bridge and not address it, I think that would be her preference, Jay. We should not allow that. We should force the United States House to take a position.
I think this is fundamentally critical to the interests of the United States here. And it's, of course, also critical to Israel. But I'm going to tell you something. What a day to be in the White House with the Prime Minister of Israel, the President of the United States, the Vice President, a number of cabinet officers. It was just incredible. And then to be given a copy of this proclamation, it's just, I can't tell you. I accept it on behalf of all of you. Highlight of our work for the State of Israel, no question about that. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by David Benjamin from our office in Jerusalem. So you want to stay tuned for that. We're taking your calls as well and comments, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And we want to know, what do you think about this proclamation in defense of Israel? How important is it to you that we stand with Israel? Also, don't forget, the ACLJ isn't a matching challenge campaign. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We'll be back with your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back. Big news, big development. Let me read you the proclamation. And as I said, on behalf of our ACLJ members here in the United States, but around the world, around the globe, on behalf of my friend David Benjamin, our colleague, I was privileged to be at the White House yesterday and saw the president and the prime minister and was handed a signed copy, signed declaration. I was handed one of the, I think about 10 or so of these proclamations. And we're showing it on the screen right now. Let me read it to you. It says that the state of Israel, first of all, it says proclamation on recognizing the Golan Heights as part of the state of Israel. The state of Israel took control of the Golan Heights in 1967 to safeguard its security from external threats. Today, aggressive acts by Iran and terrorist groups, including Hezbollah, in southern Syria, continue to make the Golan Heights a potential launching ground for attacks on Israel. Any possible future peace agreement in the region must account for Israel's need to protect itself from Syria and other regional threats. Based on these unique circumstances, it is therefore appropriate to recognize Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. Now, therefore, I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution, the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim that the United States recognizes that the Golan Heights are part of the state of Israel. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand this 25th day of March in the year of our Lord 2019 and of the independence of the United States of America, the 243rd Donald J. Trump. I get a little emotional. I'm honest with you on this, folks. This has been a big issue for us at the ACLJ. It's been a big issue for me personally for a long, long time. Joining us on the phone right now from our office in Jerusalem is our senior counsel in charge of our legal operations in Israel, and that is David Benjamin. David, your reaction to all of this?
I have to tell you, Jay, I'm choking up a bit. This is the first time I've actually heard the text of the proclamation, and it's as you're feeling emotional, I can only describe that I'm having the same experience here. I'm in Jerusalem right now. What has happened is that Israel has actually had a problem having been able to digest this incredible news because we've been under missile fire. So actually, we're kind of in a state of not quite understanding what's going down. But of course, you cannot begin to overstate the importance, the historical importance of this proclamation. It's huge. And of course, the idea of Israel ever leaving the Golan Heights is unthinkable today. That's across the board. That's a consensus in Israel. So this is a huge, huge day. And as I say, the Israelis still have to basically wake up and take it in because it hasn't happened yet. And that it still has to sink in. How absolutely significant and important this day is.
I do want to digress for a moment, and let's talk about what is going on with the missiles coming in, and then we'll get back to the Golan Heights declaration. David, what is the state of situations right now? What is actually happening?
Well, at the moment, it seems as if this whole flare-up has wound down. Things are slowly getting back to normal. They just announced on the radio that the train service has been resumed in the south of Israel. So that's a sign that things are getting back to normal. But we've had a very, very, quite a terrifying last 24 hours since Hamas, what they claim they sent a missile over by accident through some kind of technical mistake, which destroyed a house and severely injured several people in Israel. Of course, it's the third time this has happened by accident over the last few months. Accident, of course, I use in inverted commas. And there's been an exchange of blows, basically something like 60 missiles or projectiles landing in Israel during the night. And schools have been cancelled. People have been in bomb shelters or near to bomb shelters for most of last night and today. But things are finally seem to be settling down, even though there's no official statement about a ceasefire from both sides. So we're still in a state of uncertainty, although it seems to be winding down.
What was the precipitating event this time, David, for this recent round of missile attacks?
Well, Hamas claimed that it's a mistake, and I heard that the security establishment actually might be inclined to accept that explanation. On the other hand, There are all kinds of reasons why this has happened. Now, Hamas is actually at the moment under great pressure internally because there have been demonstrations and riots inside Gaza protesting Hamas. And of course, it would be reasonable for them, you know, this is a well-known tactic on their part, to divert attention to Israel. You know, always blame Israel for the problem, start a flare-up with Israel and take the heat off, so to speak, internally. So that's one explanation for what might have been going on. Another one is that yesterday or 2 days ago, there was an altercation between prisoners, security prisoners of Hamas, and jailers. One of the prisoners stabbed a jailer, and then there was a whole riot that developed as a result of that, including some injuries. So that also might have been a background. But again, Hamas said this was an accident. Do we believe them? I don't know. There was a thunderstorm going on at the time that the missile was launched. We heard the thunder very clearly from where I live. So whether that's a possible explanation that a bolt of lightning could have launched the missile by mistake, it might be. You know, that they're kind of advanced in some ways and rather primitive in others as far as their weaponry is concerned.
You're in a very accepting mode, David Benjamin. That's good. Very accepting mode. That's good. Let me ask you this. Let's talk about the significance of the Golan here. Skip talked about it as well, but let me get your perspective. First of all, how significant is it from a military strategic standpoint for Israel to maintain control of the Golan Heights?
You know, I recommend anybody to just visit the Golan Heights and you'll understand immediately what it's about. Basically, if you stand on the Golan Heights, you can look into Israel for miles and miles and miles, and you have the advantage of the height as well. So basically, you can see just about anywhere in the northern part of Israel, and you can drop anything anywhere you like in the northern part of Israel. It's really just spread out at your feet. So the strategic importance is again, cannot be overstated. You know, considering what's been going on in Syria over the last few years, just to think if Israel had somehow pulled out of the Golan Heights and the Syrian civil war, ISIS, Iran, etc., had been able to take positions on in that area, an absolutely atrocious situation would have resulted. So I don't think there can be any discussion about that even. You know, I'll go even further, Jay. Even though only the United States had stuck its neck out now very, very bravely and said, we need to recognize Israel's right on the Golan Heights, I actually think, despite the international chorus against it, that there's actually a kind of tacit consensus in the world that Israel is actually justified in holding onto those heights, whether it's a question of sovereignty or not, but that Israel's presence there is justified and that it would be suicidal on Israel's part to give it up. I think there's a tacit consensus in many places around the world, but no one, of course, will admit to it because it's certainly not politically correct. And if I may say just one more thing, Jay, you know, it's amazing how so many countries in the world have been willing to recognize a change of borders in the sense of recognizing a state of Palestine in a place where it, you know, it doesn't meet any of the requirements of a state. So in some respects, the world is prepared to go ahead and change borders and accept new states, etc. But for some reason, when it comes to something so obvious and so necessary, you know, when it comes to Israel's interests, that those same countries are all of a sudden silent.
Well, look, this is great news. We've got another 30 minutes of the broadcast coming up. David will be staying with us. We've got, I believe that we're also going to be joined by Harry Hutchinson and Colonel Wes Smith. So we got Skip Ash is going to stay with us. Colonel Ash, we've got a lot of colonels today. Colonel Benjamin, I mean, Dan, what are you?
I'm not a colonel. Not a colonel.
He's a director of government affairs. All right, we're taking a break. We come back more on the situation. Great day, great move. On the situation with the Golan Heights. I will tell you, I was Dave and I were both emotional there. It was something to see and experience. We'll take your calls, excuse me, at 800-684-3110. I guess you could tell I've been talking for the last couple of days. Yeah. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget the ACLJ's matching challenge at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
I'm talking about freedom. I'm talking about Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Your proclamation comes at a time when the Golan is more important than ever for our security, when Iran is trying to establish bases in Syria to strike at Israel. From across the border in Syria, Iran has launched drones into our airspace, missiles into our territory.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
A proclamation on recognizing the Golan Heights as part of the State of Israel. Now, therefore, I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim that the United States recognizes the Golan Heights as part of the State of Israel. We're going to put that up on a map for people to see exactly where that is. There's also some legislation moving at the same time. Than, tell us about that.
Well, you and David both got emotional about that, Jay, but it's because the Golan Heights is fundamental to Israel's right to exist. And the question is, will the United States stand behind its statement that it defends Israel? The president has made clear that he is going to. This piece of legislation, Jay, two of them actually, one in the Senate, one in the House, is a way for the Congress to undergird that decision by the president. It's S-567 put forward by Senator Cruz and H.R. 1372 put forward by Mike Gallagher. Jay, essentially what this legislation does is go back to the history of the Golan Heights and the United States position on that, starting in 1975, where President Ford recognized that the Golan Heights was significant to Israel's right to defend itself. And by the way, Jay, we had David talking about the missile fire that Israel is receiving. There are lots of different fronts by which Israel has to defend itself, but this is those two things go together, Jay. The Golan Heights is essential to Israel being able to defend itself from its enemies. So this legislation would be the Congress coming behind the President of the United States. And I think most significantly, Jay, it's not necessarily needed while President Trump is here, but there is no assurance that a future president will be quite as resolute. This will make sure that it is the United States speaking with one voice and making sure that a future president can't simply undermine this proclamation.
It's interesting because Maureen on Facebook said, do you believe this will be well received from both Democrats and Republicans?
If they are,
it should be.
Well, I do think it will be well received by both Republicans and Democrats. But, Jay, being well received is not enough. I think you'll see a lot of welcoming statements on both sides of the aisle. But ultimately, for the force of Congress to be behind this proclamation, you actually have to put it on the floor of both chambers. I do think it will be on the floor of the United States Senate very soon, and I believe it will pass. If it's on the floor of the United States House, it will pass. But, Jay, the question is, will Speaker Pelosi call that vote? That's where I'm really focused on right now.
So let me ask, bring into the conversation here quickly. Let me go first to Colonel Smith. Your reaction to this, Wes?
Yeah, this is really long overdue. You look back, and in 1967, so much has changed. In 1967, the Shah of Iran still ruled that country. Iran was not a threat to Israel or to the rest of the world. Now, with Syria having what is basically a permanent presence, Iran having a permanent presence in Syria, because of that, the whole strategic calculus has changed. Iran, we know, trains and arms Hezbollah, which from time to time attacks Israel. So I think it would be actually disastrous for Israel, morally wrong, and militarily nonsensical. I mean, strategically, it makes no sense for them to ever give the Golan Heights back. This is a great day for Israel. It's a great day for the security of that region.
Harry, quickly, give me your initial reaction to this.
Jay, this is a truly historic moment. President Trump's declaration recognizing Israeli sovereignty is one of the first steps towards real peace based in reality as opposed to faux peace based in simply aspiration.
All right, so I guess you could say the consensus around this table here, and we've got our offices right now in our media center, Washington, D.C., on the campus of Regent University and in Jerusalem, all engaged. I think it's fair to say the consensus is pretty positive that this was a great day for the United States taking action and a great day for the State of Israel. We will take your calls when we come back from the break or your comments. We're getting a lot of good comments coming in on Facebook. If you want to talk to us about this, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We do a lot of work in Israel. We have an office in Israel. We've got a team like people like David Benjamin and Rami Levy and others that work in Israel with us. Your support for our work at the ACLJ allows us to do all that. We're in a matching challenge campaign this month. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we give a matching gift for. We get a matching gift. So if you give a $30 donation, we get $60. ACLJ.org for that. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back. So the President of the United States issues a proclamation recognizing, and I'm putting it up on the screen for you, and I received a copy of that proclamation signed by the President, by our President, and accepted that on behalf of all of you that are listening to this broadcast, all of you that are members of the ACLJ. We'll get this out on our social media. We'll also get this out, on our, I'm sure, in our direct mail that'll come out in the next days ahead, but there it is. I'm sure we'll put this up on Facebook and Periscope and also get it out. It's obviously going on Facebook and Periscope right now. We'll also get it out on our website as well. This is a big, big day. I want to go back. I want to start with Skip and then David. So, Skip, let's talk. We talked about the military significance of this. Let's talk about how it actually came to be. This was initially Syrian property?
Once the mandates were created with the fall of the Ottoman Empire, it became part of the Syrian mandate. So it was under French rule, and then when Syria got its independence, it became part of Syria. And so what happened was, when Israel got its independence in 1948, that became the border. The Golan Heights abutted Israel up in the northern part along the Hula Valley. So Israel was in the low ground. The Lebanese, hostile Lebanese, were on the high ground in the west. The hostile Syrians were on the high ground in the east. And the Israelis lived in the valley, and it was like shooting fish in a barrel. The Syrians could take them on anytime they wanted to, and the Israelis had to deal with that with armored tractors, with carrying weapons, with sleeping in bunkers, all of that type of thing. In 1967, though, when the war broke out, the Six-Day War, the Israeli forces were able to take the Golan Heights to drive the Syrians out, and they've held it ever since. And it's been critical. Even in 1973, in the Yom Kippur War, when the Syrians attacked, it proved to be essential because it was the buffer that was there that allowed the Israelis to get its forces together and mobilize them and get them to the battle so that the Syrian forces never got into what was then Israel proper off the Golan Heights. And then they were pushed back. The Syrians were pushed back out of the Golan Heights.
So, David, if you look at the history of this, the war in 67 and the whole approach that was going on there, if you were looking at the significance of obtaining control of that parcel of that area, those the Golan Heights, how significant?
Well, I mentioned the significance that whoever controls the heights also has control over northern Israel pretty much, but also whoever controls the heights can see quite far into Syria too. So that has a lot of strategic importance from Israel's point of view, and it's enabled Israel to a large extent to be able to take defensive measures against Iran, ISIS, Hezbollah, etc., who are who are organizing and acting against Israel from within Syrian territory. I would mention one other fact that I think if you could take a secret referendum, and I stress a secret referendum, among the inhabitants of the Golan Heights, people who were there in 1967, and you had to ask them, would they rather live under Israeli sovereignty or Syrian sovereignty? I think the answer goes without saying. Ignore the fact that publicly the Druze people in the Golan Heights have rejected President Trump's announcement because they have, remembered they have relatives in Syria, so that there could be consequences for them. But I think it's quite obvious that if you could take a secret referendum, everybody would want to remain under Israeli sovereignty. So there's that aspect to be considered too. Just from a purely humanitarian point of view, this is good for everybody.
A great question came in from Roland on Facebook. Does this affect any foreign policy concerns in the region? I actually think, and I want to get Harry and Wes to comment on this too. I actually think making these declarations, making these decisions, for instance, in this particular case, and declaring the United States at least recognizing the Golan Heights as part of Israel's sovereign territory, actually taking these things off the table. I think this is what's important here. I think it actually advances the prospect for peace because it's another thing that is a recognized fact. Israel must maintain control of the Golan because of its own security. Harry?
Well, I think that's correct. And so President Trump, rather than cave to the politically correct viewpoint that currently infects the United Nations and many left-wingers in the United States, President Trump recognizes the strategic necessity of the Golan Heights. And so Israel would not likely agree to any peace deal unless its security was safeguarded. And retaining the Golan Heights actually increases the odds that a peace deal can occur based on real-world circumstances rather than fictional circumstances or aspirational circumstances. So I think President Trump's decision advances the ball with respect to peace.
Let me ask that same. I'm going to ask that same question to everybody. Wes, your reaction on that?
Yeah, think about this, Jay. Israel is not only the only democracy in the Middle East; it's the only country in the Middle East where race, religion, sexual orientation, economic status does not matter as far as equal protections under the law. Left to their own devices, and this is historically a fact, Israel never attacks anyone aggressively. From time to time, they've had to fight merely to survive. And so the president's decision to recognize Israeli sovereignty in the Golan Heights, I think it sends a message to the world about our values morally and politically. It's also a condemnation to the Assad regime, which since 2011 has waged a war against its own civilians with barrel bombs and chemical weapons. 500,000 civilians have been killed there. And a negative consequence of that Syrian civil war is the foothold that Iran has gained in that country. So Tehran and its proxies, especially the terror group Hezbollah, they played a major role in saving the Assad regime, and their presence in Syria opens up a whole new front against Israel.
All right, let me go to Skip on this, and then David Benjamin. So it was a great question. That's the impact of this foreign policy decision of the United States in the region. Skip, let me get your reaction to it.
Well, I think we can expect, like we've already heard, that there's going to be round condemnation. But I think that's just pro forma. They have to do that for the Arab street. I think with respect to Lebanon and Saudi Arabia and these other countries, they're going to say the right thing, but they realize that the real enemy is not Israel. The real enemy is Iran, and they have to ally themselves with Israel. So they're going to say things that they have to satisfy their own people. But I agree. I think this actually is sort of a non-event to them because they're now focusing on the real threat, and the real threat is Iran.
So, David, you live there. You know the situation. I mean, I've been there a dozen times. We talk about the impact that this has on our foreign policy decision here in the United States as it relates to potential peace in the region. You said this is kind of a tacit understanding probably, and I think that's right, that there may be some public statements, but in reality, people in the region, your neighbors understand that. But let's talk about what it does for the peace process.
Well, I think that what's happening here is that a very important principle is being revived, if you like, which is the idea that if you are attacked by a foreign country and in defending yourself, you capture territory of that foreign country, okay, you are entitled to hang on to that territory. And I think that is actually probably the best deterrent that the world could hope for against aggression by one country against the other. It's kind of been lost over the years, but I think President Trump's proclamation actually reinforces that, and I think it could actually have international significance as being a wonderful deterrent against countries who have aggressive tendencies against their neighbors. And of course, it's very relevant to our part of the world, where that's not a rare phenomenon.
Do you think, David, so give me your kind of prospect here. I'm being very interested to know this. So we know there's going to be public talking. That's kind of the norm here. What do you think actually moves next? I mean, what do you think can actually arise out of this by taking this off the table?
Well, I think, first of all, the idea of Israel ever relinquishing the Golan Heights is fanciful. In other words, it's not going to happen anyway. Okay, whether the United States or anyone else recognizes Israeli sovereignty or not, Israel is not going to pull out of the Golan Heights, period. So it's a fact. So you could say from Israel's point of view, it's never been on the table. It was discussed in general terms, but we never got very far with it. Okay, and I think now, after the events of the last several years, it's completely unthinkable that Israel would step down from the heights. And yes, I think the idea of taking things off the table, and in so doing, look, if you can remove a recognized casus belli, right? A casus belli is a justification for going to war, which Syria has at least, you know, in terms of the international community, had. To attack Israel, to regain the Golan Heights. And if the international community can slowly come to the acceptance that this isn't that justification no longer exists, it can actually allow Syria to move forward and make peace with Israel for down the line. And it can allow Lebanon, too, who is under Syrian influence, and all sorts of other positive developments. As I said, there's a tacit acceptance, I think, even if not a legal, obviously not a legal one, but a tacit one, a de facto one, that's the way to go.
So the end result here is, then, does this move now put the proclamation being issued a little bit more pressure to get the legislation through?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's the start of international consensus, Jay. We saw it with the embassy move. There was international outcry that would be catastrophic. What have we seen instead? We've seen the rest of the world start to follow suit. Jay, internationally, I think that will happen here as well. I think a decade from now, we'll look back and there will be international consensus that the Golan Heights belongs to Israel. And Jay, we can get into this a little bit more, but it also has very real impact on how the Golan Heights is treated when the United States sends military and foreign aid over to Israel. We can break that down, but domestically, that's very significant.
All right, folks, we are going to come back in just a few moments with another last segment. We'll take your comments. 1-800-684-3110 with your calls. Don't forget the ACLJ's matching challenge, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, everybody, welcome to the last segment of the broadcast. We're talking about the proclamation. Let me read it again. It's a historic day. Let me walk you inside what I got to witness. So they had a signing. I believe that the signing may have taken place in the initial signing in the Oval Office in a ceremony there. And then the Prime Minister and the President came out, and there was a small group of us, and the President and the Prime Minister were obviously very pleased with what we just had witnessed. And then the proclamation was shown again, and you saw the photos of that. It was the official one, the one that goes, I guess, in the presidential archives, is the one that's in the blue leather binder, so to speak. And then I am with the President, and he hands me one of the 10 copies. And I'm going to tell you something. That meant a lot to me. It means a lot to my family. It means a lot to our members at the ACLJ, and it has the President's signature on it. It was there with the Prime Minister of Israel was there as well. It was great. Got to speak with him. Let me read you the whole thing as we close this segment out, and I'll get a comment from everybody. Proclamation on recognizing the Golan Heights as part of the State of Israel. The State of Israel took control of the Golan Heights in 1967 to safeguard its security from external threats. Today, aggressive acts by Iran and the terrorist group Hezbollah in southern Syria continue to make the Golan Heights a potential launching ground for attacks on Israel. Any possible future peace agreement in the region must account for Israel's need to protect itself from Syria and other regional threats. Excuse me. Based on these unique circumstances, it is therefore appropriate to recognize Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. Now, therefore, I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim that the United States recognizes the Golan Heights are part of the State of Israel, in witness whereof I have hereunto set my hand this 25th day of March in the year of our Lord 2019 and in the independence of the United States of America, 243rd Donald J. Trump, President. Now, there's an important line in there. Any possible future peace agreement. That is the predicate here, that any future possible peace agreement must recognize that the Golan stays in Israel's control. Let me go ahead to Skip.
Correct. There is no way that Israel, as David said quite powerfully earlier, there's no way that Israel will ever give up the Golan Heights because it is so strategic against the most radicalized Arab neighbor it has, which is Syria. And now that radicalization has been enhanced by having the crazy Iranians coming in and also wanting to use Syria as a jump-off point against Israel. So there's no way that Israel would be able to survive giving up the Golan Heights.
So, Harry, as you look at it from a policy perspective and look at it from a strategic perspective, I focus in on the line that says any possible future peace agreement in the region must recognize this. That's significant.
It's very significant, and in addition to which, it sends a very direct message to Syrian President Assad, his ally Iran, as well as Iran's terror group Hezbollah. If any of these parties decide to attack Israel in the future, Israel will likely respond and will likely gain territory permanently. Why? Because the United States and other countries are prepared to accept this new reality on the ground. So this is a deterrent to future attacks, but it also sets the stage or a framework for peace going forward. So I think this is very, very important. And I think to echo what David Benjamin has rightly said, these attacks will not necessarily yield fruit for the attackers. So that reduces the incentive for these countries and these terror groups to attack Israel in the future.
we got a really interesting point that Than Bennett, our director of government affairs, just raised, and that is the impact not only on peace, but also on an additional aspect of stability, finances.
Yeah, I mean, peace is the predicate, Jay. It's the ultimate goal. The Golan Heights is essential to securing that, but it's going to have an immediate payoff, too. I want you to listen to the end of this legislation that Congress is looking at to echo the president's statement here. It's a rule of construction. It says, any reference to Israel in any existing or future act of Congress relating to appropriations or foreign commerce, including customs and international trade, shall be interpreted to include the Golan Heights. And, Jay, there are all sorts of things that this would apply to, but I'll give you just one example. When the United States supplies Israel with military aid, either in dollars or weaponry, to defend off its attackers, Jay, now, not just future appropriations, but existing authorizations for the use of that appropriation, those dollars, that aid, can be used inside the Golan Heights. So it would be Congress's way, with their power of the purse,
right,
saying we agree with the president, and not only do we agree with him, when we send aid to Israel, it can be used inside Golan Heights to defend herself.
So, Wes, let me ask you, both from as a military man, but also just from a kind of the perspective here of a strategic move to initiate peace.
Yeah, you know, this is truly peace through strength and peace through recognizing reality. What Harry said, I completely agree with. If we were to give the Golan Heights back, that would be rewarding Syria for attacking Israel in 1967 and again in 1973. And what that would do, it would drastically change the cost-benefit calculations of other expansionist dictators. When a state decides to attack another country and to invade, they need to calculate the risk. And part of that risk is that they will lose territory. So it's a deterrent to other would-be dictator expansionists. But at the same time, as we've said today, this is strategically significant for Israel. They need this because of their own security as a nation. And I think what the president has done, he's recognized that, but he also has recognized reality. As David Benjamin said, no matter what the rest of the world thinks or what the United States did, they are not going to give the Golan Heights back. And there are moral and strategic and political and military reasons why Israel must hold that territory. And I think what this perhaps will begin to do, you know, the United Nations still refers to it as the occupied Golan Heights. That designation needs to go away. This is part of the land of Israel. They're not occupying it. The president is saying it is their land.
Let me ask you this, Skip. If you look at this, we've just got about a minute and a half left here. If you look at this from a historical perspective, how big of a day was it yesterday when this proclamation was signed?
I think it's very significant because we now have a major power, the major power in the world, setting the stage and taking a step against the international community, in effect, by saying we recognize that this is Israeli territory. It's no longer part of Syria. And although international law precludes gaining territory by aggressive war, it does not preclude gaining territory by defensive war. And the 1967 war, Israel was defending itself against an attack by Syria, and Syria lost that territory, and it's gone now. The president has confirmed it.
All right, well, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. What a great day to celebrate the proclamation on the Golan Heights. Again, we are in a matching challenge campaign. We have an office in Jerusalem, and you help pay for that. Your support of the ACLJ right now in our matching challenge campaign helps us do the work in Jerusalem and in the region. So we need your support. You go to ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, not only is it tax deductible, we get a matching gift for. Let me encourage you in that regard to go to ACLJ.org. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift, which means if you donate $20, we get 40. 40 is 80. You know how it works. And I want to thank all of you for allowing me to be your representative yesterday at the White House to receive that proclamation. What a great, great day that was. We will talk to you on the broadcast tomorrow. Again, to support the work of the ACLJ, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.